on Calvary. The moment Jesus expired on the cross, of all people, the Roman centurion who stood facing Jesus exclaimed, "Truly this man was the Son of God." Then the capstone. On the eighth day after his resurrection, the Savior appeared to the doubting Thomas, absent when Jesus had appeared to the disciples a week before. Jesus called Thomas, told him, "Bring here your finger and see my hands. Bring here your hand and put it into my side, and be not unbelieving, but believing." Then Thomas declared in adoration, "My Lord and my God." In every case, when believers proclaim their faith in Jesus Christ, they were speaking to a man who had a human body, human eyes and lips and ears. They were adoring a man, of course. That's what they saw. But they were adoring a man who faith told them was the living God. As men, they knew him to be the Son of Mary. But by faith, they recognized Jesus as the everlasting Son of God. Over the centuries, to be exact, it is now over 1,200 years. I'm not exaggerating. Millions of Christians have died for their faith, and precisely for this reason, especially for our purpose, at the hands of those, the followers of Muhammad, whose Quran tells them Christians are idolaters. Christians claim that the Son of Mary is the Son of Allah. And we say, yes. And I trust everyone that I'm speaking to is willing to lay down his life in witness to that article of faith. So we return to our second statement. There will be no Christ now on earth for us to adore except for his mother Mary. In the Holy Eucharist is present the whole Christ, true God and true man. Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament is the second person of the Holy Trinity, who existed in the bosom of the Father from all eternity. But Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament is God become man, who was conceived and born in time of his virginal mother Mary. That is why, over the centuries, the Church bids us to say the same words to our Lord in the Eucharist that Thomas spoke to Jesus on the Sunday after Easter, "My Lord and my God." Why? because in the Eucharist we adore the same Son of Mary, who we know is our Creator and Lord. Though I spoke for the next 10 hours, I could not be overstressing or emphasizing this key to our understanding of our faith. The Holy Eucharist is, of course, God present, but God present as man, God present in his humanity, God present in that human nature, with that body and blood that he received from his human mother, Mary. We have a part 3. Grace from the Holy Eucharist to imitate Mary. It is correct among Catholics to speak of Eucharistic adoration. This is true. It is also, in fact, the main reason why our Lord is with us in the Blessed Sacrament, that we might give him the faithful adoration he deserves as our incarnate God. But during his visible stay on earth, Jesus was not only worshipped and adored, he was also and fervently asked for every kind of help. Whenever people asked for what they needed, the only condition was that they believed, and Jesus would grant their request. The Gospels are filled with accounts of miracles worked by the Savior in favor of those who approached him in faith. No less than for the contemporaries of Jesus in the first century, there is no limit to our needs. How this needs to be underlined. That is why God provides that we have needs, and needs that we cannot ourselves meet by ourselves. Why? So we might come to him and ask for the assistance that he wants to give us. Provided we pray, provided we ask. But there's more coming. Keep in mind, is the self-same Jesus now on earth in the Eucharist, who during his visible stay in Palestine, healed the sick, gave sight to the blind, speech to the mute, restoring hearing to the deaf? It is now the same Jesus who delivered those possessed by the devil and even raised the dead back to life. It is years now, depending on how long I speak to a given audience, and I think tonight is long enough for me to tell you, expect miracles in your life. That's what it means to be a Christian. God puts, consciously and deliberately, humanly impossible situations into our lives. Why? So we might ask him to do, well, the humanly impossible. Jesus, the Son of Mary, is in the Blessed Sacrament then, not only for us to adore him, nor shall I say only even mainly to provide for our physical or temporal needs, He is your many to give us the grace we need for our souls. And what are the graces we most need? Basically two. One for the mind. We need light. And not for the will. We need strength that only Jesus can give us to enable us to overcome sin. That's one basic need. No sinner will enter heaven. But also, and I sure hope I'm talking to the right audience, we also need his supernatural help to practice the virtue of charity and loving God as he deserves and loving others patiently and mercifully out of love for him. What are we asking for? We are asking our Lord to give us the grace we need to become saints. Reread the present Holy Father's encyclical, Veritatis Splendor. You may be shocked. Says the Pope, in order to follow Christ faithfully, today's believing Christians must live the life of martyrs and be willing to die, if need be, a martyr's death. Amen, Holy Father. Amen. Where can we obtain this divine help, both to avoid sin in a crime-laden world that has canonized sin and made it a law and now prescribed by our highest judiciary in the United States? Where can we obtain the grace we need to live lives of sanctity and, with God's help, even martyrdom? Where? From our Lord present in the Holy Eucharist. Believe me, I could now speak for weeks autobiographically. This is real. We go on. We are saying, in the Blessed Sacrament, we obtain grace not only to avoid sin, but to grow in sanctity. All the great Eucharistic saints of history testify to the power available to us to become holy. The secret is to know where to obtain this power. Where is that? In the Blessed Sacrament. I may be boring you in repeating. It is the Blessed Sacrament that provides the miraculous light for the mind and strength for the will to not just survive, but to thrive, I mean thrive, in today's dungeon of crime. Where do we obtain the grace? From the Son of Mary, present with us in the Holy Eucharist. Growth in charity. There can be no growth in holiness without growth in charity. No less than our progress in sanctity, so our growth in charity depends on the Holy Eucharist. But here, watch the stress. It is mainly from the sacrifice of the Mass. Then, Holy Communion and the Real Presence. And I would add, in that sequence, that we obtain the means to practice the virtue of selfless love of others which is the principal way we show our love for God. Remove the Eucharist, and it becomes impossible to live up to Christ's humanly impossible commandment to love one another as He has loved us. That is why Jesus had to, hear me, He had to institute the Eucharist on that same Holy Thursday night that He gave us the commandment, love one another as I have loved you. The commandment would be bizarre, meaningless, a mirage without the means. What are the means? The principal means are the Holy Eucharist. Our last reflection. We began this conference by saying that except for Our Lady, we would not have the Holy Eucharist. I would like to end the conference by saying that except for the Eucharist, we could not imitate Mary, who is the perfect model for our imitation of her Son. We have become so accustomed to using the title, Immaculate Heart of Mary, that we may not fully realize what we are saying. What are we saying? We are saying that during her life on earth, Mary was immaculate because she was absolutely sinless from the first moment of her existence in her mother's womb. What are we saying? We are saying that Mary was the most loving human person who ever lived, because the heart of Mary was always united with the heart of her divine Son. On both levels, our task in this world is to strive, and, should I add, and struggle, to become more and more sinless, which means more holy, and become more loving, which means more selfless, after the example of Mary. Like us, and unlike her Son, Mary had to live by faith. How was she sustained in her sanctity through life, and in her practice of charity? By the presence of Jesus all through her days on earth. Jesus was with Mary in His visible humanity from the moment of His conception at Nazareth until His glorious ascension at Jerusalem. Jesus was with Mary in His invisible humanity in the Eucharist from the time of His ascension until Mary's glorious assumption into heaven. We shall become more Mary-like, and therefore more Christ-like, as we draw strength from the same source that she did, from Jesus Christ, who, thanks to her, is with us in the Holy Eucharist. When Jesus told His disciples, "Come to Me, all you who labor and are heavily burdened, and I will give you rest," He was speaking to us today. We are labored, and we are heavily burdened. Where can we find the grace to be at peace in His valley of tears? Where? In the Holy Eucharist, where Jesus, again, thanks to Mary, is really present and wants us to be present too. I would like to close with a short prayer. Mary, Mother of God. Except for you, we would not have Jesus. And except for you, we would not have the Eucharist, which is Jesus in our midst today. We beg you, dear Mother, obtain for us something of your own deep faith in your divine Son. Faith in his real presence in the Blessed Sacrament. Rather, we may follow your example here on earth, so that we may share in the joy that you now experience in the visible company of your divine Son and our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.